Good morning. Our first Sunday morning service of the year. And I can't think of a better way to begin the year than by sitting at the Lord's table as we remember the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that we could have new life, that we could have hope. And so in a few moments, we're going to be distributing these elements. And the Bible says to approach the Lord's table in reverence. And so let's be preparing our hearts as we get ready to receive. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Lord, we're so grateful to sit at your table. As we sit at your table, we are reminded of your great love for us. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. And you have done that. Thank you for coming and shedding your blood that all of our sins might be washed away. We're just so grateful. And Father, our lives are filled with hope as we go into this new year. Although we know days can get very difficult, we trust you. And Lord, as your people, we want to rise up to the occasion. We want to be your men, your women. May we go forth this year and tell the world about your love, the grace, salvation that we found in you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we sit at the table remembering what God has done for us, I'd like you to also consider about what you can do for the Lord this year. I think it's a great opportunity this first Sunday of the year to set priorities for ourselves as Christians spiritually. And let's do that going fresh into the year. You know, I believe there are three components to the Christian life that we need to guard, we need to protect, we need to prioritize. And I call them the upward, the inward, and the outward components of the Christian life. Easy to remember. Upward, inward, outward. And I believe we all have responsibilities in those perspectives. First, the upward. What would that speak of? Well, that's pretty obvious, right? Our relationship with God. Our vertical relationship. We have a responsibility as Christians, and this is something that we must never lose sight of, to guard our personal relationship with Him. And right at the beginning of this new year, I call on you, make God first place in your life. The Bible is very clear. God wants to be first place in our lives, doesn't He? The first commandment of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you are a Christian, then God is to be first place in your life above all other folks, above all other things in your life. More important than money, more important than career, than any relationship. A few weeks ago, we studied a passage in Mark where Jesus was asked that question, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And you remember how Jesus responded to that? He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. In other words, according to Jesus, the most important thing you can do is love God supremely. Love Him completely. The idea is love God with every fiber of your being. with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, with your life's breath. Do that this year. Make it your aim right now as you go into this new year. I am going to love God completely and supremely this year. I'm going to reach up. I promise you, if we do that, everything else falls into place. If your relationship with God is there, then you have the power and the motivation and the wisdom in all of your other relationships. If that will be our goal this year, then of course we need to make time to spend time with the Lord this year. Personal devotion. If you've been around the church long, you know that many Christians call it the quiet time. Ever heard of the quiet time? It's that time that you take alone with the Lord every day to show that He's first place. We call it a quiet time, but it's anything but quiet. A lot of communication should be happening. That's the time where you read through the Bible and God speaks to you daily. That time when you speak with Him daily through prayer. Oh, my friend, let that be there this year for you. Nothing can take the place of that personal one-on-one interaction with God. And He wants you there. You know, He always has time for you. You think you're busy. How busy do you think God is? And yet He has time for you every single day. Morning. That upward component, guard it. Keep it. Don't let anything get in the way. Now, as a church, how can we apply that upward component corporately? Well, I want to challenge you with something this year. I want to challenge every member of this congregation to something this year. I invite you this year to engage, to participate, to become more aggressive in our times of corporate worship together. You know what I mean by corporate worship? You know our services start at 9 on Sunday and 11 on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And you know how we start every service like we just did with singing, right? That's corporate praise. That's the body getting together and doing some upward. Understand, that is a very special time dedicated in the week for God's people to gather and together worship, love, adore. I invite you, engage in that this year. The time of music isn't dead time. That isn't the extra time for you to get to church. That time of music isn't the time where you go out in the lobby and talk to your buddy. That's where we all gather and we worship and we reach the heart of God. So I invite you, be a part of that. You know, we're studying the Psalms on Wednesday night. And I mean, you got 150 praise songs in the Bible. You know, there's a hymnal in the Bible. And I've been studying King David and what a worship leader he was and how committed he was to it. I mean, he wrote psalms. He was a musician himself. And when he became king of Israel, he employed hundreds of professional musicians. Hundreds that had a heart to worship and that led people in worship corporately in the courts of the tabernacle. David said, use any and every instrument possible. I even learned that David invented instruments to be used in the time of worship. It was a big, big deal for David. And it needs to be a big, big deal for us. I am so blessed with the worship leaders that God has raised up in this fellowship. You know, there are churches that hire professional, and they come in and they do their gigs. You know, all of our worship leaders are homegrown. Right from in this body, volunteers who love Jesus Christ. and give of their time weekly to practice. Let's support them. And one of the best things you can do as a member of this congregation is to show up on time and worship with us.
Terry, I can't sing very good.
The Bible says, make a joyful noise. Make a noise. Maybe you don't sing very good. Mouth it. Speak it. Stand up and pray it. Join with your brothers and sisters and raise your hand. Let's reach God's heart together as a congregation on Sunday mornings. Amen? Upward component. Then there's the inward component of our Christian life. And of course, that would speak of the way we interact with one another as Christians. You know, when you become a Christian, you become a member of the body of Christ. You become a brother or sister in a family. And the Bible teaches that there needs to be that inward helping of one another, reaching out to one another, ministering to one another. And I want to invite you. I want to challenge you this year. Involve yourself in the body of Christ. Invest yourself in the body of Christ. Make every effort to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be a Lone Ranger Christian this year. Engage. Be a part. The classic verse on this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, where it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what the day is? The day of the Lord. The return of Christ. Anybody see that day approaching? The Bible says as we see the day approaching, our fellowship should be more, stronger, assembling ourselves together. Now, I want to make something very understandable when it comes to fellowship. Fellowship is more. Please understand, it's more than just attending one service or even two services a week. That's not fellowship, although that's good. Fellowship is becoming involved with your brothers and sisters in Christ, making friends, serving. Maybe there were some parents here that for Christmas gave their kids a bike. I remember when I gave my kids a bike, I had to put it together. You bought it in a box, right? What kind of a parent would you be if you took all the pieces of the bike out and put them under the tree? Merry Christmas! All those pieces of the bike are gathered under the tree, but they're certainly not assembled. What you do is you take the pieces of the bike and you put them together and you assemble. So that in the morning the kid has their bike. And I think a lot of times we as Christians treat church as this is where all the pieces gather. Okay, yeah, that's good, but there needs to be assembling. If this is your home church, assemble. Become involved. Get involved in the youth group, young person.
I don't have a ride.
Bug mom and dad about it. The women's ministry, the men's ministry. And there's so many wonderful different ways to get involved in a church. You know, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that every one of us as Christians has been given a spiritual gift. We all have a spiritual gift. And we have a place to operate and function within the body of Christ. I have found that you get to know people when you come into ministry and start ministering alongside people. And there's so many, many ways to do that. And a church can provide all kinds of opportunities and the avenues for that, but it can't force anyone to fellowship. You got to make that choice. In that inward component, there's also the idea of discipleship. Why is it so important that we as Christians hang out together? Because we disciple one another. We help each other. When Christians get together and they're fellowshipping, they're strengthening one another. The passage in Hebrews says, we stir one another up towards love and good deeds. See, when you get together with brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a stirring up towards good things. Be very, very cautious of the company you keep. The Bible says very clearly, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Listen to that. You might have a good habit in your life that you've kept for years. And you start hanging around with the wrong crowd, they can corrupt that. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how powerful the influence of people is? I believe that as Christians, we should save our best friendships for those of other believers. And if you don't have any friends in the body of Christ, make it your aim in this year to find some. To make some, to get involved. And you know, it's part of our personal growth. Think about it. When you became a Christian, when you were a brand new Christian, church helped. But you know what helps more? When a person comes alongside and helps you personally. And hey, let me teach you the Bible and let me talk to you about how a Christian marriage works. That one-on-one personal, that's discipleship. That's needed in the body of Christ. And you need that when you're a younger believer. Well, guess what? When you grow up and become an older, more mature believer, then you need to do that with someone else. And you can do that in small groups. In reaching out and making that happen. I think it's also very important in this inward component that we as Christians are very quick to help one another in practically day-by-day things, when we get sick, when we have financial need, maybe when we're moving. You know, be that community of help. I will tell you, last year was a tough year. I can't think of a year where we were glad to do it. Helped many, many people last year financially from a benevolent ministry here at the church. Very important. And that's what we do. But it would be good for all of us to have relationships with other Christians that we might help each other one-on-one personally. Bible says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Did you hear that last part? As Christians, we are called by God to do good to all, but especially to the household of faith, your brothers, your sisters in Christ. Do you know them? Do you have them? Do you know your brothers and sisters in Christ that are hurting? Do we have that community? That inward component. And then, of course, there's the outward component. And that would speak of our responsibility as Christians living in the world. First and foremost, that upward, that relationship with God, and then that inward, our body, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then it's the outward. And you know what the outward is? It's reaching out to others with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Being a witness for him. The Bible is very clear, and this is for all Christians. We are all called to be witnesses. We are all called to make a difference. In your world, where you live, in your sphere of influence, the Bible says you're a grain of salt there. You're light. And you know what you're supposed to do there? Shine. Be salty. The Bible says that as Christians, we are all called to be ambassadors for Christ. Think of that. Ambassadors. Those who represent the King of Heaven and the message of heaven in our part of the world which God has placed us in. And the power that God has promised. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." As a Christian, you do not have to worry about whether or not you have power. You have power. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, and let him work in and through your life this year. In other words, go into this new year, my brother, my sister in Christ, and witness with the way you live your life in front of people. Don't be the Christian that's participating in all the other garbage of this world. Don't be the Christian that you can't tell is a Christian around certain people. Shine. Live your life. And let me tell you, if you live your life as you should as a Christian, people will ask you, "What's up with you, man?" And then have the courage and the guts to share. To share the gospel with others. That outreach component. The upreach, the inreach, the outreach, the upward, the inward, the outward. I was so blessed this last year as a church. I was so cool to see many of the things that God did here. I have discovered that when we give this body an opportunity to do outreach, they respond. We did that Christmas outreach at the La Union Elementary. And, you know, 70 volunteers, 70, 80 volunteers, and plus a whole bunch of people that weren't able to attend, but they donated towards that. And I'll tell you what, that was a wonderful, wonderful experience for us as a body. I think of some of the bigger things we do every year, like Vacation Bible School. 100 volunteers. 300 kids running around the sanctuary. You need 100 volunteers. And what we've done recently, what some of the folks have done, is they've organized a little outreach right in the middle of VBS to less fortunate people. That's good. We have a group of men here who are ministering weekly. They go down to the abortion clinic and they stand for life. These are all very good things. They need to continue. In fact, I would like to challenge this body at some point. Let's have 4 outreaches like that, 1 every quarter. And make one of them big, like maybe a big crusade. There's lots of stuff we can do. There's lots of interest, and we can do it. And there's lots of ways to get involved weekly in outreach. Help these guys. And I would challenge somebody right here. I would like to see us to start minister weekly at nursing homes, homeless shelters. Some way in the community. But that needs somebody to step up and take that. Be responsible for that. Make that happen. Maybe God's calling you to do that, to lead that component in this church. Let's do it all. Upward, inward, outward. And that outreach is so necessary, because if you're spending all that time on yourself, getting yourself all spiritually fit, and you keep taking in all this spiritual food, you know what happens if you don't have any outreach? You just become big old fat. Unhealthy. See, you need to take in and then give away. That's health. So we sit at the Lord's table and we remember all that He's done for us. He's worthy to be first place, isn't He? And He's worthy to be obeyed in what He calls us to do within the church, and what He calls us to do in being His witnesses to this world. So contemplate. Think through. What do you need to adjust this year? Let's bow our heads. And I'm going to ask the guys who are helping us to distribute to come forward. We can turn those lights down. Father, now we sit quietly in an attitude of reverence. So thankful for what You've done. Thank You for dying on the cross for our sins. As Your people, we take this time right now and resurrender our lives to You fully. Take our lives. And then before we distribute these elements, if there be anybody here, your head is bowed, your eyes closed, but you've never received Christ, talk about a new year. Bible says if you receive Christ, you become a new creation. You become born again. You get a brand new, fresh start. The Son of God left heaven and gave Himself for your sins. His body was broken. His blood was shed. The punishment that you deserved, He took. And then on the third day, He arose. The Bible triumphantly declares that if you place your faith in Christ, if you ask Him to be your Savior, He will wash away all of your sins and make you a new creation, give you a whole new purpose and reason to live, the right reason. So if you've never received Him, then I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Wash away my sins. Thank You for Your great sacrifice, Your great act of love. Come into my heart. Forgive me. And be first place in my life. I would ask that you guys, gals, hold these elements and we'll partake together as a body.